Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
So I have a question for you. You mentioned you've become an expert now. I mentioned your hobby is, first of all, Italian, but also recording and streaming masses from your parish.
Oh, yes. This is what God wanted me to be ready for. But I would not call myself an expert. For me, it was like a miracle. Like a couple of years ago, I didn't even have a... I'm one of the last BlackBerry users, you know? And then I became
a
fanatic of iPhone and then of videos and producing videos. I even created a small company. And then when all this happened with the COVID and having to broadcast and live stream, I wouldn't call myself an expert. But it was interesting because actually you taught me, you remember those days, you taught me a word in English, tinkering with technology. And that's the problem with technology, that you have to be very detail-oriented. And that's not the kind of person I am. So we had to learn a lot of troubleshooting. And when I do something, once you get me to do something, then I have to do it right and to offer a good product. So it's been exhausting, but very challenging, but in a good way also. But not an expert in any way. The funny thing about today is Mother's Day, right? That this Sunday we are reflecting about, it's Mother's Day. My mother, who lives in Spain, watches all my live streaming masses. So the first time that she came into the live Facebook Live, she came in and her last name is Pinillos. It's not my last name because in Spain we keep both last names.
Right.
So she came in and very few people knew who she was. So she started saying hello and nobody was answering because probably it was the middle of mass, but that's my mother. Welcome to my mother. And I said, either you say hello to my mother the next day, I think. Either you say hello to my mother or there is no mass today.
By the way, I got excited a few moments ago. You mentioned the magic word BlackBerry. BlackBerries are just a great phone. They were simple, that keyboard, and sort of around, but not in the same way or the same as it was before. I wish they'd come back. Those keyboards are just great.
I remember how sad I was when I had to leave it behind. But there were no apps, and the access to internet was very difficult, I seem to remember. But iPhones or Androids in general, it's a whole different world.
As you know, and as you've reminded me often, I don't reply quickly on texts.
I think I know that.
Part of it, though, is physically it just doesn't work as well for me. I like a keyboard in general, and I always like that BlackBerry keyboard. So if I had that keyboard, I'd maybe be a little better. Anyway, you brought back a memory from the past. I loved those.
Anyway, we are gathering for the fifth Sunday in Easter, and we are reading the Gospel from John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 12.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father.
Do you remember the other day that I said the statements that John's Gospel has, you don't find them in any of the other Gospels? And I said this is, or at least I thought this is my second greatest statement, because the first is this one today that you just read. And it's there, and when you read what it says, Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will do greater things than myself, which is unbelievable. It's an incredible statement. If you believe in Jesus, you will do greater things than Jesus, who has been healing, who has been performing miracles, who has been multiplying bread and fish. It's an amazing statement.
That's the amazing part about a relationship with Jesus. What he affirms here, too, is that we actively participate in his mission.
Uh-huh.
And even more so by that statement, as you rightly point out, he's saying you could do even more amazing things than this. And I think just that sense of a participation, a partnership, there are different ways theologically you describe that. But we're really active participants in the life of God. That's really amazing, really amazing.
The other part of the gospel, of course, Jesus likes to insist that he's the image of the Father. And that's great, because then that's always a mission for us. Do I look like Jesus? Do I do and say what Jesus would say and do? That's another very challenging but fascinating part of this gospel, right? Am I an extension of Jesus to others, which is what priests or not, what we are called to be.
Right. This, by the way, chapter 14 here now begins what are called the Last Supper discourses.
So
the next part of John's gospel is that. Thus, that's how he begins. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He's beginning to prepare the apostles and the disciples for his departure. And that's what this is all about, is departure and return. Hear that language here very much as well. But again, not alone. We're not spectators. You know, that's what's just so amazing. We're not spectators to this incredible, this Paschal mystery, this drama that Jesus is involved in, and that relationship with God the Father. We're active participants. So just a reminder is, if you're moving through John's Gospel starting in 14, it's the Last Supper discourses.
And four chapters until chapter 18 is when the Passion begins, I believe. Four chapters of constant teaching that happens at the Last Supper that we could actually take and analyze more. Sometimes we read things and we don't know they come from there. The washing of feet is part of this. I believe love of enemy in John's Gospel is part of this discourse also. It would be a very interesting exercise to take these four chapters, the last discourse of Jesus in John's Gospel, and to pay a lot of attention to it. The beginning of the Gospel is probably the one Gospel I can probably say by heart, because we use it a lot in funerals.
Right.
In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and I always thought to imagine heaven like a place where everybody, there is room for everyone. It won't be what brings you to heaven. It's so flexible in terms, there are so many ways to do God's will, and there are so many ways to do what is right, that there will be room for everyone. Any kind of person.
I actually just finishing right now St. Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle.
Yeah.
A Spanish saint, a mystic.
I've never heard of her. just kidding. By the way, we study St. Teresa of Avila in Spain, little Spanish children. not as a saint, but as part of the golden era of Spanish literature. So that you know that you are reading the book, so you know it. But I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that cultural aspect. The introduction kind of touches on that a little bit, but that's the whole point of this particular work of hers, which takes, she's a mystic, so it takes particular attention kind of to follow her. But these mansions, and she says it's, you know, that's true of our spiritual life, but that's what heaven is like. And she's really basing it here: in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. You and I know, as we celebrate a funeral, that's so important, because you and I, and also those that we celebrate funerals for, we're all very imperfect people, you know, and we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and we die in an imperfect state sometimes. And I'm so grateful for the fact that there's a lot of room in God's house.
Some people are more imperfect than others, and that's what I think when I think about myself. But I think that's a great point. Many times we reflect on this podcast about the tension between administration and spirituality. You reflected about this last week. St. Teresa of Avila is one of these very, it's a mystic, as you said, but also very thoughtful, very mindful of real stuff. She was a founder of community. She was very much into administration and what you need to do for these little convents. She was a reformer, as you know, and that's, she has an incredible life. It's one of these towering saints. So I understand when people refer to modern saints, and when you see St. John of the Cross, St. Ignatius, St. Therese of Avila, that, by the way, they all happen to be from from Spain. Those are towering saints. It's amazing, yeah.
So speaking of imperfect, of course, this is always a little hard to read. It's one of the rare references to Philip in the Gospels, and he gets scolded by Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's really quite an imperfect apostle, like many of them are. But really this rebuke in a sense from Jesus, but also Philip being an instrument for to speak about faith, to say, hey, you've seen me. My desire as Jesus is for you to know me. This concept we would call now a concept of revelation. What more do you need to see, Philip? Mm-hmm. But a message for all of us as well, to say Jesus is not trying to be secret. There's nothing hidden there. But also it takes a certain step forward on our point as well. At a certain point, Jesus can say to us, what more do you want? You know, I'm here. I'm present. I've given you all that you need. You got to step forward in terms of a life of discipleship.
Good enough. I think that's at least for me, that's enough for this weekend. What do you think?
This is good. Once again, we need to say this because it's really important. We're praying for you. We're really grateful for your presence, but are praying for you right now as we all continue to go through just some difficult times.
And happy Mother's Day. They are such an important part of our lives, and we want to acknowledge mothers who are part of this cyber community, as we call it. And a blessed day to everyone.
Happy Mother's Day to Anna.
And happy Mother's Day to Patricia.
All right, we remember.
Which is the name of my oldest sister, so I should remember more easily.
Okay, how about we get together and we'll chat again soon?
See you soon.
All right, take care.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.